¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Are we ready? So we're turning, everyone's happy.
This is the problem, Steph, but I don't know if I can say that, because if it wasn't on the shortlist, I just can't talk
I've
about it.
I've been trying to start this podcast for the last 10 minutes, and I cannot get a word in edgeways.
Getting told off.
Hello, and welcome along to Press X to Continue. Now, if you like video games, or if someone you love likes video games, then you are in the right place. This is your home for chat, for news, reviews, and more. Now, we used to live on the BBC, but we are very excited to now be bringing Press X to loads of other platforms for the first time ever, like Spotify, Apple, etc., etc., wherever you get your podcasts. So thank you very much for being with us. My name's Stefan Powell. I've been talking about games professionally on the radio, on the telly for about 10 years. Now, joining me on this journey, you've probably already heard him because I was trying to start this podcast for 10 minutes and he was prattling on in the background.
Hey, don't you be blaming that on me. I'm pretty certain that was
banging on about trying to be. This is a professional outfit, Einel. This is Einel Tomlinson, comedian, actor, energy giver.
Hey, I like that though, energy giver. That's real nice. I'll take that.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Thanks,
it's
man.
True. I'm gonna give you your flowers early doors.
Oh, hey, what, you know something I don't know?
I know. This is the last time we did this. I've had 2 children. You look exactly the same. How are you not aging?
Oh, I got grey hairs. What are you talking about? Like there's grey hair there. You see it?
Not really.
Well, it looks like dirt, but it's grey hair though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I still think he looks exactly the same. Now, there's going to be stuff from Press X to Continue every Tuesday and Thursday in your feed. It is lovely to have your company. And also our guest for this first new episode. Are we calling it a new episode? This is new. We're brand new. We're starting again.
Yeah, started again.
So we have got...
it's a reboot.
It's a respawning. That's our WhatsApp group,
okay.
Frankie.
It's a remastering.
Respawning, rebooting.
I like a remake.
Remaking, all of those things. Our first guest this week, we have got esports host, streamer, content creator, Frankie Ward is with us. Frankie, welcome along.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I wasn't allowed on this podcast on the BBC. I was never asked.
Is it?
And I don't know why, so I'm going to ask you why. Why was
you
I never asked?
Yeah, Steph, what's going on?
Wasn't there like a list?
I hosted the BAFTA Games Awards,
yes,
and yet I was not good enough to be on your podcast when it was on the BBC.
I don't know about that. You need to chat to this guy, because I don't know what's going on here.
Coming at me early, and you know what? Fair play.
How come you didn't invite Frankie on?
Yeah.
Didn't you get the emails? We sent loads of emails.
Not to
anyway,
me.
Look, you're
no,
here.
No, sliding into my DMs. That's all I'm going to say. I'm here now. I'm not being paid, but I'm very grateful for the opportunity, as they say in this industry.
I slid into Frankie's DMs. She's here with us. Now, Frankie, let's move quickly on. Let's start on a positive foot, is it, rather than a negative one?
That was positive. I'm so happy to be here.
We're starting a new tradition, right, Frankie, where we're kicking off every new episode, or as many episodes as we can before the sort of the online chat gets too much, with an unpopular opinion.
Ooh.
Okay, since you threw me under the bus a little bit there, I'm going to throw you under the bus by asking for your unpopular gaming opinion, please.
Okay, my unpopular gaming opinion.
Making for
prepare
something
to
serious.
Act shot,
I like it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that Death Stranding is a great work of art, but not a great video game.
Oh.
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 Oh, I don't know if I agree
she
with that.
She was nice at the beginning, and then in the second half, she's
turned.
Wow.
So go on, like, carry on. Some people will disagree with you. That's fine. That's why it's an unpopular opinion.
There's a few factors that play into this. First of all, there's about an hour of cutscenes at the beginning. Now, I love a good cutscene, but I also want to play the video game rather than watching Final Fantasy The Spirits Within. Because that's kind of, you know, that nice, sort of very glossy animation, very good voice actors. They've even got their faces. That's an improvement on Final Fantasy The Spirits Within. So hand it to you, Kojima. You got Guillermo. You've got the French
it's a great
lady.
Cast. It's a great cast.
She's brilliant. She was in James Bond.
Leah Seydoux.
Yeah. I've got two children. One of them is only three months old. That's why I forgot her name. I have no idea who that is.
So you didn't like it. Death Stranding, if you don't know, is a game by Hideo Kojima.
It's basically
a walking simulator. It's very atmospheric. It's very moving.
It's not a walking simulator. It is a stumbling simulator where you go through acid rain, give people parcels, some bodies get burned. There is a terrible sponsorship by Monster Energy. The product placement is just next level. There's even a poster for Norman Reedus, who plays the main character, the protagonist that you're operating.
Sam?
Yeah, Sam. He plays Sam. Mm-hmm. He's very good. But why do I need to know that his AMC show is coming back for another series on the wall of his bathroom? That kind of breaks this whole new American world building.
I'd do that.
Is it though?
I'd do that.
Well, look, if you agree with Frankie, then let us know and find us on social media. Let us know in the comments. I'll tell you where our new social handles are very soon. Find us there, Press X Pod, basically, or Press X Podcast on TikTok, on Instagram, on Blue Sky. We're all there, okay? And if you comment on our post, whether you agree or disagree with Frankie, if you comment, then we'll send you a link to our new Discord as well, okay? So get involved, get your comments in. If you agree with Frankie, cool. If, like me, you disagree with Frankie and had a lovely time spending... Because
love the beach.
I love the...
You died a lot, did you?
I died a lot. I spent a lot of time on the beach. Hey, look.
Well, the next one's called On the Beach, just for you.
For me. Excellent. I thought it was very quite atmospheric. I loved the music. I thought the soundtrack was banging.
Yeah, the soundtrack was good.
And I think
it's Beat Saber, atmospheric, banging.
Yeah, I know, but I don't like VR games. Wow. Anyway, this is not my unpopular opinion. This is not my unpopular opinion. This is your unpopular opinion. So if you disagree with Frankie, that is cool. Get involved. Let us know what you think. And we would love to start a conversation. Now, Frankie, some people listening to this might not be aware of your work. You've already mentioned that you hosted the BAFTA Games Awards. You're always interviewing esports players after they've just lost games and their dreams have been crushed and you're there asking them difficult questions. Where else can people find you? What's going on?
Well, at the moment, because I am almost permanently latched to a child, which is why I'm giddy to be here, I'm not doing too much at the moment. I'm just sort of mostly breastfeeding, to be honest. So,
Can you play while you're breastfeeding?
Yeah. I've been playing on my Steam Deck. Actually, I realise it's probably easier on my laptop because I basically do have everything. Yeah. So I'm really fortunate in that regard.
You're prepared.
I'm very prepared.
You're like, I know, you've got the works of
listen.
You.
Yeah, it's good. It means that I can start trying to play different games.
You've got options.
I've got options. Mostly I'm playing Balatro on my phone, to be honest, hours of the mornings. This is something I probably shouldn't confess to, so it goes no further than the podcast.
It's just a secret. It is safe with us.
I logged back into Candy Crush after not playing it for over a decade because I could play it on my phone at 3 a.m.
There's no shame in it.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I used to log Candy Crush too. Yeah. I was that person on Facebook. Just like, hey, can you send me some more lives?
But I have got through.
I was that guy.
I've got through 1,000 levels in the last few weeks.
Hey, listen, do it. Hey.
And I just,
we don't judge.
I needed to tell someone.
There's no judgment. Hey. I'm all about that. I love a bit of Candy Crush.
Candy Crush.
But professionally, I'm on the social platforms. I do stream twitch.tv/Frankie. So hopefully I will do a stream before the end of the year. And I will probably be doing some more esports next year. So like this year, FC 24, not 25.
Yeah.
I've been doing Fortnite at FNCS and another one, Valorant. That's it.
Yeah. And now being a part of the PressX family, Frankie. Finally.
I love this.
Happened? My memory's now been jogged.
You already passed as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, my memory's been jogged. We thought Frankie was too busy.
Did you actually?
Yeah.
Oh.
So there we are.
Oh, he's but she's here
now.
Feet.
You know, in our new home, Inel.
Hey.
Inel, your unpopular gaming opinion?
Oh, you want to hear mine?
Yeah. Well, we're gonna go through plenty in our time on this podcast. Okay. But let's kick off just with a quick one.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Well, quick. Listen, game how you want to game, innit? Like Frankie said, if you just got a little bit of spare time, you're on your phone, game on that. That's cool. If you're on the train, game on there. Or if you like on your desktop, game on there. But I want to say the most optimal, best way to play your video games. It's on the couch in front of the TV, surround sound speakers.
Not your headphones?
No. Surround sound. Listen, Dolby Atmos if you got it. Yeah.
Who's got the...
If you got it, 7.1 surround sound. It's the optimal way. That's what I'm saying. Nah. A lot of you lot are playing these video games with tinny speakers in it. Playing out your little laptop speaker, the sound is trash, and then the soundtrack ain't doing justice. Yeah, you need these people put so much time and effort into making these games. You need to play them properly in front of your big screen TV, 4K, surround sound speakers so you can hear the instruments, yeah, and fantastic voiceover. Boom, it's the best way to play your video games. Every other way is cool, but it's not as good.
It's very exercise. Those hands are going places, aren't they? That's how exercised. You can't see this, right, because this is a podcast, but I know his hands are waving everywhere. He's really into this idea of playing on your sofa with a giant telly. Not sure your headphones on, though, right? I'm with you on the big telly. I don't mind. You know they say 32 inches is the optimum screen. Nah.
No.
I'm with you on the big TV, but I'm for all for headphones.
I know, you got kids, isn't it? You got kids, so you need the headphones so you don't wake up everybody else in the house.
I
get it.
Yeah.
But the most optimal way is with the surround sound.
Did he say, because 32 inches is the best, you know, like, because you're esports, competitive gamers, they play on, like, you can't play on too big a screen, because then you've got to turn your head to see where the sniper's coming from or whatever.
32 inches is massive. I think that's probably more of an open world game thing. If you were looking at
maybe I've plucked
screen,
that figure out of nowhere in my mind.
Yeah. An esports kind of tournament, then it would probably be about 24, 25 inches.
Ooh,
but
smart.
The most important thing is the frame rate. So people are on 360 hertz now.
Yeah. Look at, well,
that's all people care about. They don't care about so much the size of the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope that makes sense to someone. I will go and Google it afterwards and I will sound very informed. That's lots of frame rate. That's very good. Now, we've said it once already, but look, if this is your first time listening to Press X to Continue, welcome along to the family. And don't be shy to make your thoughts, your views known to us. Get involved, message us, find us on social media. So we are Press X Pod, all one word, or Press X Podcast on TikTok, Insta, Blue Sky, and if you comment on any of your posts there, then we're going to send you a link to a brand new Press X Discord that we've gone up. So you can meet the team behind the scenes, the team that are going to be joining us here as well to talk all things games. We would love to hear from you and to get you involved in the podcast.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
We've been talking news, we're talking reviews, and we're going to be talking about long-awaited sequels today as well, because this, Frankie, is a long-awaited sequel. See what we did there.
Yes.
Hey?
It works.
Okay.
We'll go with it.
But let's go through some news first, because stuff happens in the games industry all the time, doesn't it? So let's get you up to speed with the things you might want to know about. Have you seen this story? I loved this when I first read it. Two players of the online-only racing game, The Crew, are suing Ubisoft because the developer and the publisher decided to close the game's servers down. Now, it didn't have an offline mode, so it basically means that players who bought it can't play the game anymore because it was an online-only game, which sort of raises the idea of sort of... I know we're used to digital ownership now, but back then, it was, what, 2014 when it came out?
Yeah.
I mean, suing seems a bit strong, but, you know, we are changing how we play games, right? We don't own a game anymore, you know? We're borrowing it.
We're renting it.
That's so iTunes of Ubisoft, though.
But then it must cost them to keep the servers up and running. If there's like if these two lads are the only ones, or ladies, I don't know, are the only ones playing it, then it's too expensive to run.
It is, but at the same time, like, you're getting people trying to patch. Basically, the companies should be patching these games so people can play them offline. There's no reason why a lot of these titles can't be played offline, and they don't really need to rely on servers. And I think that's what it's like the danger that we have in by going into all games being digital. That's where there's a bit of an issue, because I love physical games and I love being able to kind of collect those kind of titles and be able to kind of look at them. There's so much nostalgia associated with having like a game with the instruction book back in the day. And I think what people need to realize is loads of us have these almost mini curated museums in our houses of loads of different titles that they have, that have so many memories. They got their Mario Kart over there where they used to play with their friends. They got all this over there. And I think what needs to happen is we need to start going back more into physical games and being able to play these games offline and preserve these games properly.
Two things. One, the planet's burning. Two, you clearly have no children. Where
she
on
said,
earth are you keeping
crush.
All these games? You live in London.
Give me the Candy Crush.
Where is the space? Yeah, Candy Crush fits in my hand like this.
No, but you're,
to fit two cribs in now.
Frankie, you're thinking massive museums. They don't have to be massive. Some people's gaming collections are quite small, but they preserve them and they only have the best titles that have the most, they have the most sentimental value.
Do you still have your PlayStation 1?
I wish. I had to sell that to pay rent.
I can't believe I got it. I got rid of my N64 and it was such a sad day. No, I got rid of it when I went to uni. It's such an error.
Same. Had to pay the bills.
Such an
Xbox
error.
Had to go.
Are we just getting on a bit? Because I think I agree with you, but then I don't feel the same about movies, do I? Because I've got my subscriptions for that. So is there something different about games in terms of like having to hold something?
I think there is, because it's more than just sitting in front of a screen and kind of taking in a story. With games, it's a lot of time it's about community, who you played those games with, and like the memories that you share with those people. Like, I have constant memories of playing like GoldenEye N64 with my friends.
Those were the days.
And we
are aging ourselves right
now. But
that's
what I mean. But like, to be able to.
I was too young to play GoldenEye. I was only allowed to watch it at my childhood.
But to be able to have that, like, have the box and the cartridge and the instruction book, like, that is your own personal kind of, as I said, like, little museum of your memories of curated awesome titles. And a lot of people have that. And I think hopefully when we start kind of treating games more as an art form, and celebrating it more like that, I think more people will be able to kind of go in, and I think more people will start purchasing physical games, and I think there'll be more pressure on the bigger companies to put all these games and make them physical and to keep us in the physical realm.
I have an idea for Ubisoft. Steelbook the crew.
Yeah, well, you'd at least sell two copies.
Exactly. Yeah.
You'd at least
totally
sell two copies.
It. And you can just put the price up to an astronomical level because the demand is just not there, so you don't need much supply.
So there, but let's know what do you think about this idea of game ownership and it changing, you know, to do with finance and social media. More sad news. It's been quite... We like to think that this podcast is bringing joy right into our tiny little corner of the internet. But there's not been loads of joy in the game sort of industry. If you just play games, if you just go out, you buy games, you play them, you play with your mates, you might not realise the sort of behind the scenes, it's been a bit of a dumpster fire of a year. You know, the industry sort of burning, things aren't quite going to plan. More industry layoffs. So the website Obsidian, which basically tracks people losing their jobs in the games industry. You might be listening to this thinking, oh, I'd love to work making games one day. I want to be Kojima. I want to make the next Death Stranding that Frankie loves.
I want to find excuses to have women take all their clothes off because otherwise they can't breathe properly. We need more Kojimas in this
if
world.
If you want to be making games like that, you know, whatever floats your boat, right? Well, at the moment, you might not be able to find a way into the industry because this website, Obsidian, estimates around 13,000 jobs have been lost so far. 13,000 jobs in the games industry in 2024. Mm. And that's up from 10,500 jobs in 2023 and 8,500 in 2022. But at the same time, you know, my old job when I worked at the BBC as a correspondent, I used to talk all the time about how much cash the video games industry is making and how much it's worth compared to movies and music. So squared in this circle of, wait, you've got one of the biggest entertainment industry in the world. Loads more people are playing games. GTA 6 is coming next year and there's a Switch 2 coming, which means that even more people are going to be entering into the space. Mm-hmm. But yet all these companies are laying people off. What's going on?
I have no idea. I remember when I used to work at Twitch as a producer before I was hosting and seeing this printout, but it was about how Destiny, I think it was Destiny 2 rather than Destiny 1, but it made more than all of the top 10 films of that year combined or something crazy. So these are huge games, obviously making huge amounts of money, but if it's a live service game like Destiny, it's got to make that kind of money to be able to afford to keep going because you have the maintenance, you have the patches, you have the DLCs, the things that come out. So it is very cost inefficient, the gaming industry, a lot of the time, unless you're one of these smaller indie developers. So for me, one of the most worrying things about this emerging news story, because unfortunately it's still ongoing, is the indie developers who were bought up by bigger studios like Microsoft, who then all got let go. Their studios got closed. So for me, one of the worrying things about this emerging story, unfortunately still ongoing, is where you see these really successful indie publishers and developers who, no, not publishers, developers. They're picked up by Microsoft Studios and they're now having their studios closed.
Yeah.
And that's insane to me because you have studios who won BAFTAs even in the last year, like the team that made Rollerball.
Rollerdrome,
apologies. They have now been let go.
Yeah.
Again, three hours of sleep last night. Baby's 3 months. I didn't have 3 months of sleep. But when you're seeing teams like the team that made Rollerdrome being effectively closed 17, and out of jobs, that's insane to me.
Yeah, Roll 17, wasn't
Roll
it?
17. Yeah.
So they got, and it strikes at the sort of the balance in the games industry sort of in a really precarious place, feels like, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know I was speaking earlier about this is an art form, but it's being treated very corporately at the moment by lots of places because if games aren't made unless they're projected on a spreadsheet to make a shed ton of cash.
Yep.
I mean, you look at the type of games that everybody's making at the moment, live service games, for example. There's loads of those coming out, but then less of those sort of narrative-driven games where you might feel something, where you might explore, without getting too like fancy or highfalutin about it, you might explore the humanity and explore emotions and stuff like that.
Seth, let's be real. Like, those games just take too long to make and people want the return on their investment. Their investors want their money. And it's like, I can't wait 6-7 years for this game to get made. I want all the money now. Fortnite's making all the money. I want to be like Fortnite.
Yeah, make me another Fortnite.
I want to be like Fortnite.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's happening is a lot of investors are seeing that. They want that money. They're seeing how much money some of these titles, these annual titles are generating. And they're like, we want some of that. Why do I have to wait 8 years for the game to come out? And so it means a lot of those experiences that we didn't get or we could be getting, we're just not getting them anymore.
I will say though, I think games companies have got a problem when it comes to telling stories about indie games.
Yeah.
So we here will play indie games, right? I bet a lot of people listening will often only tend to play your AAA titles, right? Your Call of Duties, your FC. I keep calling it FIFA, but
Watching. Okay, it's okay. You can call them cards, not items, on this podcast. It's okay. Don't worry.
The game where you buy the cards that are the footballers.
That one.
I wasn't allowed to say that for most of this year.
No, you can.
Hey.
You're unshackled.
Points and you get your items and hopefully you unpack something valuable. I never did.
Yeah.
Actually, no, Vinny. I got a Thunderstruck Vinny. That was great. Best day of my life. Anyway.
That would make sense to someone. So the FC25.
Can't use it anymore because it's now FC25. So. Yeah.
The football game. But it's all, those sorts of games that drive the top end of the industry. I get it. They make loads of money. But does games have a problem in letting people know, oh, look, you love Warzone, right? Yeah. You love Fortnite. You might also love this game that was made by five people in a small studio in Sweden or whatever.
We're getting there because, like, I mean...
Because that happens better in movies. I feel like smaller movies are given a bit more of a platform than only Hollywood blockbusters.
Yeah, but me and Frankie were talking earlier about playing The Rise of the Golden Idol, and that is a title that is available on every platform, including Netflix.
I did not know it was on Netflix, though. Yeah,
well, a lot of people are going to just... on their phone, whilst they're scrolling through, they can play that game. And that's like a fantastic indie title that has a very different kind of gameplay mechanic to most traditional games that you'll see. You'll never see like a AAA title like playing in the same way as this. But it's there and available for a lot of people. So there's hope.
Okay.
And because I love Curse of the Golden Idol so much, when I was streaming that, my community were like, you haven't... to play Return of the Obra Dinn. And I've never played Return of the Obra Dinn. And that's a fantastic single developer.
Yeah,
and I find my favourite games are by small or single developer teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think when the industry's not very good at getting people, like a lot of my mates who will buy the big games, but then they want a few. So Return of the Obra Dinn's black and white game was BAFTA winning, wasn't it, a few years ago? Was it BAFTA? It was definitely BAFTA nominated, if not BAFTA winning. Like a very moving sort of single player experience, black and white pirate ship game, amazing. Mm-hmm. That's probably passed a lot of people by, and I wonder why those dots aren't joined better. Let us know what you think about that. How does the industry need to do better? Can it do better? Because at the moment there's a lot of negativity out there in terms of jobs being lost.
Can we be something really, really positive? I'm sorry, I'm hijacking your hosting.
No,
but
I'm just going to kick back.
Best game.
This is why you weren't invited on before. You're taking my job from me.
There we go.
So one, the two good things from the story. Microsoft do pay a hell of a lot of money to those indie developers to acquisition their games, and it is for a certain license period, which is also annoying because then you buy them on Steam wanting to support the game when it comes out and find out you can already access it. The same thing's happened with Netflix. Yep, what is your favourite Netflix game that you can access? Because most people have got a subscription.
Oxenfree, I think.
Oxenfree, yeah.
Queen's Gambit.
Queen's Gambit. I've not played that. It's actually good. Yeah.
I heard that was very good. Full disclosure, yeah. I went to do a piece about that in my old job and we filmed at the studio. I was like, chess game, I don't know about this. And I got hooked.
Really?
It's really great.
And you can play it on mobile.
You can play on your mobile. Yeah, it's fantastic. Nice. Yeah, it's really cool. And it's sort of, if you've watched the show, it takes you through the bits of the show. So that was a
I need to see the show?
No, you don't. I think it was a good time. It helps if you've seen the show, I think.
Okay. I need to watch the show, innit?
I think you connect with it on a different level.
There's no point me playing it if I don't watch the show.
Anyway.
I'm just going to say, if you haven't played Immortality yet, because I think that's still on Netflix.
Is it on there?
Yeah, the Sam Barlow game. That is amazing. I actually didn't play Her Story, his first one, until afterwards, and then when the credits were rolling, my name was in the credits because I invested in that game back at my BBC desk in 2015 before I was even working in video games. So I was like, oh yeah, I paid money for this game. I should actually already have a copy
Frank,
of it.
You've got too much cash, my friend.
There we go. Right. She's got her own museum, She's got her own museum.
I think that the Game Pass, though, interesting you say that, Xbox Game Pass is good for indie games because I think it opens people's access to it without feeling like, if I'm going to spend 20 quid on something that I don't know nothing about, I can understand people's sort of uncertainty. So Game Pass is a good way around that. And then on the flip side, so you've got all this sort of issue with industry layoffs and stuff and the sort of the uncertainty behind the scenes. And then the PlayStation 5 Pro console landed this month, which will set you back 700 quid or another 100 quid if you want one with a disc drive as well, which makes it, if you adjust for inflation... Because we're clever on this podcast.
You're adjusting for inflation, not me.
Then this makes it the second most expensive console ever behind the PlayStation 3. Ooh. Are you buying a PS5 Pro?
I'm not. I would love one, but I'm not buying one. I get why it's there. It's not for everyone, is it? It's a luxury item. It's like Aldi, right? Like, with the car maker, right?
You meant Aldi. It's in the one with the bakery.
No, not the shop. Not the shop. The car. Yeah.
The one with the rings.
Yeah, the one with the rings.
You're working for an Audi Spawn? Because we can do Spawns now.
We can't. Hey, listen, I love Audi.
Come on, Audi.
You're not looking at the RS8 and say, oh, wow, look at this car. Like, I can't afford it. You're getting an A1. Instead, you're getting a smaller version. That's for you. It's the run of the mill. You're also aware that there's the huge luxury ones for the people that got that money. And then for the people that got that money, the PS5 Pro is there for them. I'm happy for that. The only thing is, the issue I find is, if that's how much the PS5 Pro is going to cost, how much is the PS6 going to be?
Yeah, PS5 Pro, if you don't know, is basically let's put it in easy terms, it's a jazzed up version of the PS5. It's quicker, it's shinier, there's more ray tracing, all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
I honestly think with most people's TV, it's probably not going to make a difference.
That's true.
And also...
No, Frankie.
Especially if they're sat on their sofa.
Listen, hey, some people, they ain't even got proper HD TV. The resolution that they're plugging their PlayStation into is not 4K. It's not 1080p. Some people ain't even playing properly anyway, so they it's not for them.
Can I just say there's no way of playing right or wrong? You play however you want to play, and don't let Inel shame you into buying a posh telly if you don't want one.
Listen, if you're playing in 480p...
Can I just say, no, there are certain games that you can play wrong. For example, play Counter-Strike with a controller. Okay. Otherwise, maybe you do deserve the toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only incidents where I would say that is the case.
Frankie, come out. Swinging today, I like it.
I love this, Frankie.
Right, okay, so the PS5 Pro is here. If you've got one, you know what to do. Let us know. Get commenting, and obviously we will send you that DM to our Discord as well. We're going to be bringing you regular, and there's going to be a jingle here, which we can't currently hear because it's not ready yet, but there will be a jingle.
What do you think it sounds like?
I have no idea. He's not even playing a preview.
We are going to be talking...
Press X to continue. This scene, your view by the developer who made Heavy Rain. Press X to shake the orange juice. Yeah.
It's a GTA 6 news jingle that's going to sound something like this.
The Press X to continue GTA 6 update.
As of current recording, there is no release date for the game, nor any more new information. Back to you.
That was the Press X to continue GTA 6 updates.
So we're gonna bring you regular GTA 6 news updates because I know people are excited. There's not that much going on. Last 12 months, we've had barely nothing. We think there's a new trailer coming soon. We know it's coming autumn 2025. I think we should.
They don't need a new trailer. It's all good. We all know it's coming. Let Rockstar do their thing. We know it's going to be good. Like, I don't need to see trailers.
Just jiggle mechanics.
Jiggle mechanics.
There's jiggle mechanics in the trailer.
An update for jiggle mechanics.
I'm pretty sure that was jiggle. There's a car scene and there's some jiggle mechanics. Nice. I'm pretty sure, if I remember right.
And you can infer what you want from whatever Frankie's talking
Maybe
about.
Maybe this is
there.
Just what I dreamed about during my 20 minutes of sleep last night.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. But make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Right, so let's tell you then what games are worth your money and your time, or not worth your money and your time, as it might happen, actually. A game that's close to your heart, I know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, really close to my heart, man.
Let's talk about Astro Bot. One of the games a lot of people are recommending to a lot of other people. We know the games are upwards of 60 quid these days, uh-huh. if not more. We know mm-hmm. people's time is precious, especially those of us with small children.
I'm with you.
And so making a choice of what to play is very important.
It's the most important thing.
Astro Bot be one of those games?
100%. Because you know why? Astro Bot doesn't waste your time. It's a really fun game that just says, hey, have some fun for 10, 12, 20 hours. Boom, that's you. And I'm like, yeah, where are all these games gone? Like, I love, like, PlayStation used to have so many of these PlayStation Studios that used to churn out amazing, diverse kind of games, like Gravity Rush, like games that you'd never see PlayStation doing. And they kind of disappeared from doing all of that. And Astro Bot is a reminder of, like, no, this is what PlayStation Japan can do. And they can do some fantastic, like, platforming title such as Astro Bot. The main takeaway from this actual game is you're playing and you're holding on to the controller. It takes so much. It utilizes the PlayStation Sense controller so well in terms of little tip taps, the cute little animations that you see on the screen. You're constantly grinning as you're playing this game. It's a lovely little platform adventure. If you played like some of like Astro Bot's previous titles before, like you had a PS VR title in the past, which is a platform game as well, you'll know what you're expecting from this. But if you're a fan of like Mario titles,
it's the most Nintendo non-Nintendo game.
The most Nintendo non-Nintendo game.
Yeah.
100%. And like it feels, it has that like AAA quality to it. It feels buttery smooth. There's no glitches or itches. There ain't no frame drops. It runs so smooth and you're just like grinning from ear to ear. And this is why I said you need to play this game 4K, big screen, massive speakers. You need to play it properly.
Christmas is coming up. Invest, right? That's what I know.
Do Astro Bot proud.
Now, the Metacritic score, this, which is basically an aggregator online that tells you what loads of people, you know, critics and stuff think of this game, give it 94 out of 100.
It deserves it.
And would you put it up there?
Oh, 100%. One of the best games of this year, easily. As I said, like, we know these games are expensive, as you said. £60 is a lot of money. But if I was to play £60 on a game, and this game was going to guarantee me a really good time, for like 15, 20 hours, I'm there. That's me.
Yeah. So are you saying, I mean, it sounds like you're going to buy now. So we've got this thing where we're going to tell people they can buy now or wait till it's cheaper or don't bother at all. I think we can guess, Frankie, can't we, what Inel's going with this one. What are you going to do?
Oh, I'm buying it.
Yeah.
Buy it. 100%.
Has he sold it to you, Frankie?
He has, although I haven't finished the Playroom free game that came with the PlayStation 5 yet.
Yeah.
So, oh, the PS5 one. Yeah,
you
yeah,
could
yeah.
argue that the two best games on the PS5
are those, yeah.
are the two Astrobot games. One which came with the console, and still the best use of the controller out of anything else has been
if
made.
If you enjoyed that, this is times 10.
I was enjoying it, to be fair, so I think I would very much enjoy Astrobots. Maybe in a couple of years when my kids are old enough to play.
So to play devil's advocate, if it's not a game for people like blowing stuff up, right? If you, or like shooting
There's explosions.
There's explosions, but it's not...
Graphic violence.
You're not gunning fools down here.
No.
Oh, as Frank said, graphic violence.
We ain't gunning no fools down. None of that is happening in this game. But that doesn't have to be every experience. Like, I love my gaming experiences to be as diverse as all my friends are. And, like, I like playing lots of different types of games that give me different experiences. I don't be playing shooty, shooty, bang, bang all day long. Like, sometimes, how about I want to jump around with a cute little character and just grin my face off? How about that?
Frank, you know our kids are too small.
I know, basically just like described himself.
Yeah. Now, Frank, I know our kids are too small to play games with them yet, but I think this is the sort of game, in my opinion, that if you've got young kids who are trying to get into gaming or asking you about getting into gaming, Christmas is coming up. This is the game that you can play, I reckon, with your kids to get as a nice sort of way into it. That's not, if you don't have a Switch, you've got a PS5. Actually, you don't have to go and buy them a Switch and get all the Mario games. You can just play Astrobot instead.
Yeah. There we go.
Okay, great. So Einel is saying buy now.
Buy it now.
For Astrobot. You can get it, actually. It's about 50 to 60 quid. But there are some deals, like places like Amazon and Currys can get a 54 quid game and PS Store, $59.99.
Listen, Christmas is coming up. Get it, innit? If you're not going to get it for yourself, get it for someone else. Because like, as far as I'm concerned, like, people always say we need to kind of vote with our wallets to the type of games that we really like and the type of games we want to see more of. I want to see more Astrobot, innit? Buy the game.
There we are. It's a big sell. He's actually been quite aggressive. I'm a bit taken aback by how aggressive this sell is. And now, we mentioned it earlier. You talked a little bit about Rise of the Golden Idol earlier on in the podcast, Frankie. That's what you've been playing. Would you tell people to, well, firstly, what is it? Are you enjoying it? And what would you say to people who've not heard of it until right now?
It's interesting that they haven't asked you to
do this like a paid promotion, actually, isn't it? Because I could see
I am so obsessed with it. I am, like, the PR for this game just slide into my DMs because I've talked so, like, lengthily, should we say, about how much I love Curse of the Golden Idol. So you are looking at these different crime scenes, essentially, and you are clicking on different things to, I guess, take a closer look, say, inside someone's pockets, inside someone's head to see what they're thinking or
inside
saying.
Inside drawers,
yeah. Exactly, part of the environment. Yeah, and you click on them. If they're you can interact with some of these things and they collect the words and then you use that to fill in some blanks. And then as it goes on, and because of the Golden Idol, things got a little bit more mathematic and, like, complicated. And the same goes for The Rise of the Golden Idol. So you don't need to play The Curse of the Golden Idol. Stylistically, there are differences. But one of the things that Color Grey do really well, the developer, is they actually tie up all the loose ends really, really well. So at the start of the game, you are presented with a kind of training scenario, and that will start to become more relevant as the game goes on. So you think you've left it behind entirely as just a way to understand what you need to do. And actually, as I'm getting towards the end of the game now, I don't want to actually give any proper spoilers. You're going to discover more about that early situation. It's something they did really well with Curse of the Golden Idol. And then they released some more DLC. And I expect to have the same with Rise of the Golden Idol. But if you like using your brain, if you don't mind a little bit of maths, I'd say it's actually a bit simpler than Curse of the Golden Idol in the case of kind of complicated things to figure out. Then you'll absolutely love it. And I am devouring it. And I actually am looking forward to breastfeeding. It means I put my daughter in the boob and Steam Deck in my hand. But if you are a handheld user, it's a little bit finicky. So you were saying you can use it on tablet because it's on Netflix games.
On the tablet.
Obviously on a PC. So I've started playing on my laptop and I love it.
Yes, as well as Netflix, it's 15 quid on Steam. It's about 17 quid on Nintendo and Xbox stores as well.
So you're telling people to get hold of that, though, not to wait till it's cheaper to get hold of it now.
So I think if you were to literally get it as soon as you hear this podcast, on the day of the podcast release, you might be able to get it for a little bit cheaper, because normally in the first week or so of release, then there's a Steam discount. Obviously, you don't have to buy it if you have a Netflix subscription. So I would get it now just because it's an indie developer. Mm. Why not?
You know,
Playstat Games is a great publisher as well.
Metacritic has given it 84. So two very high scores, two very positive reviews. From us.
Christmas is looking good. Christmas is looking good. There's so many games for people to play.
Yeah. Don't give away all of it. We'll have content before Christmas, so don't give it all away. Don't give it all away now. Let's try and save some back for Christmas. Otherwise, we will have all of our feature ideas gone on our first episode. We've got to keep this sustain
I've got
this,
more unpopular
I know.
Opinions, don't worry.
Yeah, good. Frankie's got more for days. Yeah.
She's like, I don't like Breath of the Wild.
How long have you been?
I haven't played Breath of the Wild. I don't like Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh, wow.
I ain't got time for that.
I got my Tears of the Kingdom top on.
Oh, yeah. Inel's wearing it.
I didn't recognize it.
Clearly.
Inel's wearing a Tears of the Kingdom jumper.
My friend gave me a leather luggage tag to try and convince me to like the game. And I love Zelda, but I need to know what to do. I'm busy. I have children. I keep saying that on this podcast.
That's your lived experience, though, right? I mean, we will get around to it at some point, talking about gaming as a parent, because it's hard, actually, finding the time. Like, it's you've got to work your way around it. I mean, I don't want to give away my unpopular opinion, because I'm saving it till next week. But it's but it's something around the idea of how long it takes to play stuff. You know, actually, sometimes you just want 5, 10, 15 hour stuff. You get it, you bash it, you've finished it, you move on. Anyway, I'm saving that till next week. I'm saving it till next week. Right,
you move on. Take that out of context if you will.
I'm not taking my time over it. I want to finish it off as fast as physically possible.
I really think the last time I heard that phrase was when I was a student.
Hey, this wasn't...
And I never saw him again.
Hey. She's been on once, and the smut level has risen.
I mean, you brought this upon yourself,
right? So, in honor or to honor the long-awaited return of Press X to Continue, it has been a while. To be fair,
can we have Frankie every week?
Got nothing better to do.
Owen on socials is going to be spending half an hour filming all of Frankie's unpopular opinions, so we can just bang him out on Instagram, get all the followers in. We are going to chat long-awaited sequels to finish up, because it's been a while since we were here, so we thought we would sort of reflect it on the gaming version of this wait. Alien Isolation, the first one, 2014, is amazing. That the next one's come out in 2026. There are 13 years. Alien Isolation, by the way, was terrifying. I shit myself when I played that the first time.
Are they going to make it VR compatible for the sequel?
Well, they will do it, like they did with that Resident Evil. Awful. But 2026, that's coming. So a long time, 12 years between that release. 13 years between Alan Wake and Alan Wake 2. Oh. 8 years between Red Dead Redemption and Red Dead Redemption 2. 7 years between the two parts of The Last of Us. We thought we would reflect on long-awaited sequels to finish up this week. And that one is my favourite, Red Dead 2. One of my favourite games of all time, but to match the sort of expectation levels, not in a sales way, but in a, it was a massive critical success.
We're not on
way.
The BBC anymore, it's okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to say not in a sales way
It didn't sell, it was never going to sell as much as a GTA would. Mm. But it didn't matter, because everybody thought it was the best thing since sliced bread. Mm. And I think they're right, it's a work of absolute genius and art. So Red Dead 2 is my favourite long-awaited sequel.
That's one of your favourite games of all time.
Yeah. It does help, doesn't it?
I know it's on your list.
It's on my short list. Yeah. Along with God of War 4. what is the list? God of War 4, Red Dead 2, Last of Us 2. Last of Us 1 is in the mix.
Boy, he's got it on the top of his head.
And Metal Gear Solid, the original. That's your favourite developer.
It's a good list.
I don't actually dislike Kojima.
Hey, we've done it. You've done it. Let's move us on. I just think
someone has to balance out how much Jeff Keighley likes Kojima.
We've moved on.
We have moved on.
Red Dead 2 is mine. Red Dead 2 is my favourite long-awaited sequel. If you're listening, then I've said it multiple times. I'm going to keep saying it until until I say in my sleep so that you find our socials, Press X Pod, Instagram, TikTok, Blue Sky. And then when you comment, we're going to be sending you an invite to our Discord. Frankie's not allowed in.
We need to. Frankie needs her own channel.
But your favourite long-awaited sequel, Frankie?
I mean, I really like the beta of CS2 because I was one of the only people who had access to it. But that's
Counter-Strike 2 for those not
Counter-Strike
in there.
Counter-Strike 2, yeah. And people came back to my Twitch channel for the first time in ages. So yeah, it was great for me, Counter-Strike 2. Obviously, Rise of the Cold Idol, we've already discussed it. But I don't know why. I think sometimes I have these experiences with games and I'm happy to leave it there. But yeah, I mean, I was really looking forward to, my most anticipated sequel was the Monkey Island game that came out fairly recently Ron Gilbert returning to Monkey Island. Yeah. Yeah. And long story short, Disney bought LucasArts Games, who were publishing Monkey Island. So Monkey Island 2, published by LucasArts Games pre-Disney, and then Monkey Island 3 was the first Disney version. And I love that game. I have completed that game more times than I can count.
A legendary 90s game, point-and-click adventure title from the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, the most watched Twitch clip of me is me trying to say, Mondre Dios es el pollo diablo, while I throw a nade into a corner playing Counter-Strike. That you never thought that crossover would exist, and you didn't need to know, let's face it.
You know now, and it's very popular.
It's very popular because I killed someone by accident, even though you are meant to kill people in that game. Anyway, oh my God, I really do go off the grid. So, Monkey Island 3.
Disney publishing.
Monkey Island 3, Ron Gilbert famously didn't like because Guybrush Threepwood and Elaine Marley get married. They get engaged and they get married. And that shouldn't have happened because Elaine famously does not like LeChuck. He's her ex-boyfriend in Monkey Island 2. She's constantly having to rescue him. And what they did with the most recent Monkey Island was, instead of kind of throwing away Disney canon, they actually kept that. So Elaine does like Guybrush. She's still looking after him, but more in a kind of, oh, sweetheart way, as opposed to Guybrush kind of way. And it's not the same. I'm disappointed because we didn't get to find out what happened with Big Whoop. And again, you really need to be a Monkey Island fan to understand what I mean by Big Whoop and the Carnival of the Damned. But I'm sad that we'll never properly know that story.
Well, share your love for Monkey Island with us on our socials. Let us know what you think of the return of Monkey Island. Were you as disappointed as Frankie clearly is?
I enjoyed the game. I have to say, it was a good game. It just wasn't the game that I wanted.
I was trying to finish the show on a positive note, I'll have to talk about industry layoffs and stuff.
I thought where you were going.
Frankie's taking it in the other direction. But what are we saying? What's yours?
Mine. Do you know what? My one.
How beautiful was Red Dead 2, though, eh? Come on, how amazing. How were the options? Too big, though, granted.
Oh, but I never finished it. But, like, I enjoyed my time with it.
I got to shave myself.
And
So my game
the
is...
levels on this
show. I'm sorry, I thought you could only give yourself a facial hair shave.
You can't.
Did you shave?
Okay, so my game
cardio
is...
Because nothing was nutty about what I just said.
F-Zero, the sequel, the GX.
Oh, yeah.
We had to wait like a good decade.
So people don't know about F-Zero.
F-Zero is like a racing game that started on a Super Nintendo. It was like a mode 7 kind of racing game. Really fast, super futuristic. It's where Captain Falcon kind of came from.
Nintendo's answer to Wipeout, wasn't
Indeed,
it?
Indeed, yeah.
And then actually Wipeout technically was PlayStation's answer to F-Zero.
Yeah, it was it. Yeah. Other way around, yeah. So, so it had a sequel on the N64, and then we had to wait ages for GX. And then finally GX came out, and there was AX as well that they released in the arcades. It was Nintendo and Sega, one of the first kind of collaborations that they did once Sega kind of bowed out of the hardware game. And it was amazing. It was the fastest racing game you had. They released it on GameCube and they also released it in arcades. Incredible. And I'm still waiting to this day for another F-Zero. Like, it's been like 20 years.
Yeah, the N64 version was called F-Zero X, wasn't it?
F-Zero that was great X, on that the was N64. So good. Yeah. It was so good.
I'm so sad, though, that they never released the sequel to Buster Groove in Europe. Cowards. Absolute cowards. You gave it to Japan. Why did you not give it to me?
The bubble bubble little dino.
No. I will never ever run away. I'll be there to face another day.
Turn that radio down. Look at that. Beautiful.
I have grade 8 distinction in singing.
Okay.
I can't sing anymore.
And we can tell. And we can tell.
To this positive note.
Yeah. We want to know.
Make you realize.
We want to know about your favorite long-awaited sequels as well. You know what to do. Find us on social media and comment to let us know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to save you here, Frankie. And let us know about your favourite long-awaited sequels. Well, look, that's it.
Oh, is it?
Is it for the Respawned, Remastered? What else did we say?
Remade, rebooted,
revived. Press X to continue. I think we knocked the old rust off.
Yeah.
Feels like yesterday, actually, that we were doing this last.
It does, doesn't it? It feels quite cozy that we've kind of settled back into like a nice groove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Frankie, thank you very much for being with us and welcome along to the family.
Thank you so much.
I very much enjoyed your
Please don't divorce your me, guys.
Yeah, she won't be back again. No, of course you will. You're one of the gang now. And remember, please get involved with the show. We'd love to hear from you. Press X Pod or Press X Podcast on TikTok, Insta, Blue Sky. And we'll invite you in the Discord. Even Frankie's going to be in the Discord. Of course she's going to be in the Discord.
Oh, Frankie's going to have her own channel.
And just a little note from Inel and myself. Quick note to all the OG Press X listeners out there. We've been up in our DMs for the last 2.5 years, Inel, asking when we'll be back.
They have. We wanted to say some stuff.
Yeah, so thank you very much. We're dead chuffed to be back. Thanks for sticking with us. Right, that is it for episode one. No, we're going to be back on Thursday. Because our back catalogue has never been on Spotify or Apple or all those other podcast providers before, we're going to be sharing some retro episodes of Press X every Thursday. So retro Press X coming for you on Thursday, and we're going to be back next Tuesday with more fun. So take care, and we'll see you then. Bye, everyone.
See ya.
Bye.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.